Now, to succeed at work or at anything, how hard do you need to try? How much do you need to get right? You might assume the answer is 100%. After all, business leaders and motivational speakers and sports stars only talk of giving 100%. Sometimes they'll even say they've given 110%. But there's an idea that we should only put 85% into effort. It's actually based on research from the University of Arizona that if you want to learn something, the optimum level of difficulty for learning is 85%. Too easy and you don't learn. Too hard and you fail, you give up. So is it really a good idea to take your foot off the pedal 15% of the time? Andrew Oswald is a professor of economics and behavioral science at the University of Warwick here in the UK, and he's not at all convinced.
I'm not persuaded about an 85% rule. I imagine that if you want to go, let's say, 85% of the way through your career, not to the top, working at 85% is a rather sensible thing to do. I couldn't do it as a young economist decades ago. Lots and lots of us can't. And there's a good reason for that. People are ambitious, and I'm afraid it's not realistic to talk about working at 85%. But if you want to go 100% through your career, I'm afraid you're going to have to work 100%.
Okay, let's hear now from someone who is more convinced about this 85% rule. Donna McGeorge is an author and consultant on time management and workplace productivity based in Queensland, Australia, and she's on the line now. Donna, hello to you. Welcome to Weekend.
Thanks for having me, Audrey.
So this 85% rule, when did it start to gain popularity?
Look, I think it was because of another awesome Australian.
And yet
awesome,
another.
Hugh Jackman, who he kind of popularised it when he was talking about his preparation for the role of Wolverine. And he'd been inspired by Carl Lewis, the American athlete, who was commonly known as a slow starter and a strong finisher, but it later came to be known he ran the whole race at 85%. And so Hugh Jackman took that on in his preparation for the role to see, you know, what would happen if I didn't go as hard to maintain his health and well-being and stamina over the course of a rather grueling production schedule.
Yeah, but one of them was an elite athlete and the other one was playing at being a superhero.
So is it for us mere mortals? Is that the question? How about us?
Well,
mere
I'm
mortals?
Just wondering, because we heard Andrew Oswald there says, professor of economics, saying that it's not realistic if you want, you know, if you want the reward, you need to put in 100%. But I'm just wondering, is it a good idea to give only 85% of your effort at work?
Right. So look, of course, there's people who put in 100 or 110% who are highly ambitious, etc. I say if that's working for you, keep doing it. But, you know, right now we're living globally, almost not quite a pandemic, but burnout is very high across most economies. And we're seeing people who are opting out and, you know, they call it the anti-work movement. So the at your wage, the quiet quitting, the lazy girl jobs, I've heard them referred to as well,
yeah,
where people are saying, do you know what? I'm just going to put in a bit minimum effort and I'm okay with not getting the massive rewards that come with that. So that's one aspect of it. But, you know, studies as far back as the late 19th century show that, you know, when we don't have to put in 100% to get more effort. So one of the famous ones is Frederick Winslow Taylor's studies with people who were loading pig iron. And those that took regular breaks every hour and didn't work the full 100% day loaded up to 600% more pig iron on the back of trucks. So, and more recently, studies by someone like Francesco Cirillo, who wrote the book The Pomodoro Method, found that when people took, you know, did 25 minutes of work and then took a 5-minute break, they got so much more done than folks that just kept their head down and kept trying to go hard. So
yeah,
heaps of research to say that taking breaks is good.
Well, taking breaks is good. That no argument about that. And of course, during the pandemic, so many people working from home found that they worked harder simply because they could distribute their time a little bit more freely. I have guests with me, Donna. Taran, who's a writer from India. She's a freelance writer. And also Marcus, who's a scientist and a science journalist and also a writer. Taran says that she thinks this is a very, very good idea. Taran, explain.
Yeah, I strongly agree with the idea of, you know, I think the basis of this, and correct me if I'm wrong, Donna, is that we're questioning the rewards, actually. Like, do we really want that kind of return for our time?
Is
that
do we actually get it? Is effort rewarded?
Yes. Is it always the fact that if you're putting in 100%, you will be getting 100%? Or is there actually a lot more at play in who gets the rewards for hard work? That's what I'm curious to hear from you about.
So I agree with you completely. So the nature of work is that it's relentless. Like, it's not like you say, I'll put 100% into my email inbox today and that'll get me ahead.
Right.
It just doesn't, right? The next day there's piles more work and piles more. So going 100%, as you say, doesn't necessarily get you the reward of, I get to take a break, I get to relax, I get to reap something out of that. And yet, time and time again, where people have taken their foot off the pedal a little bit, given themselves the space which stimulates creativity, concentration, focus, they actually get, if you're looking at the measure of being volume of work done, they get more work done and yet still haven't, you know, exhausted themselves in the process.
Donna, Marcus is here and he is a skeptic. Marcus, let's
I'm not a skeptic, having heard you actually, because I thought that this was about working at 85%, you know, capacity all the time. And I would certainly wouldn't want a surgeon, you know, to be working at 85% while they were cutting out some organ of mine. But actually having breaks for 15% of the time makes total sense. You know, I'm sure you come back refreshed having done that and you know, able to do more.
Well, I actually would absolutely want my surgeon to have worked at 85% or less, knowing that if we haven't slept for more than 16 hours,
yeah,
studies have shown that we begin to have the impairment of about 0.05 alcohol impairment. And so if I've got a surgeon who's been working really long hours and he's picking up the scalpel and he might fail a breathalyzer, quote unquote, I wouldn't be particularly happy with that either. But look, it's not just surgeons.
Of the actual operation.
Well, what I'm wondering is, does this also have to do with ideas of, you know, idleness, and it's, you know, that there's some sort of comment on your moral fiber, you know, that if you don't want to work hard, you're idle, and, you know, the devil finds work for idle hands or whatever. So there's a kind of moral implication to this as well. But I'm also wondering, Donna, has the pandemic actually fundamentally shifted the way in which we think about work?
I think, yes, the short answer to that is yes. I think we're right now in a perfect storm of work revolution, which is the coming out of the pandemic and people making decisions about being back in offices, working from home, flexible work practices, all of that. Then we've got the four-day work week, which is also, or shortened or compressed work weeks. Then we have, you know, AI and the new technologies that are coming. It's just there's... that right now, lots of people are rethinking about work and how it reflects on their whole life rather than, you know, be the primary aspect of their life. I just think it's an awesome time to be alive right now.
I'm thinking that they're going in the right direction about the four-day week, et cetera, et cetera. That's Donna McGeorge, an author and consultant on time management and workplace productivity.